Amen. Thank you, Father, that we are having a good reporting tonight. It's going to be an awesome. Thank you, Lord. And I know everybody checked their email for the subject matter tonight. Thank you, Lord. Lord of God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace and your mercy upon us tonight. We praise you, Father, for making us victorious in your name. And I know that we have dominion and authority over all the power of the enemy. And I pray and declare that the enemy has been defeated. He cannot interfere with our communications tonight. We've already bound him up. And by the stripes of Jesus, all of us have been healed. And I thank you, Father, for deliverance from all parts. Anything that the enemy might be throwing at us has been cast down because the enemy is defeated. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that each and every one of us understands this, knows it, and stands on it daily, if not hourly. And I praise you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that the enemy has been defeated. And you might as well just acknowledge it, pack your bags, and go on down there where you came from in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that we have freedom tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers too. Lord of God, thank you, Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for giving us some freedom of thought, freedom of everything, because we are your sons and daughters. And as such, we have access to all the things that you have. And we praise you and we glorify you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Ben, go ahead, brother.
I don't know if any of you guys know, but there's a huge fire in Ontario right now. Like, it's spreading across the whole province kind of thing. And I just want to lift that up to the Lord. I've prayed earlier, but I think we should all come together for this.
Amen.
It's coming from Quebec, from Nova Scotia.
Is this a wildfire?
It's a wildfire. That's what they're saying,
okay.
At least.
Okay.
And it's coming from, well, you guys probably don't know where Calabogie is, but that's where it's coming from. But I raise this up to you, Lord, that you keep all of us, well, me and my dad safe and everyone in Ottawa safe. And I put a hedge of protection that no more people are going to get hurt and all the firemen get home safe.
Yes.
And that fire stops burning, and whoever accidentally started it, that it's all going to be okay, Lord. I put all of my peace towards you, and that this fire will be put out in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for raining down on this fire with that man in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
And I got two more healings.
Okay.
Karen's mom, her name's Adriana. She has COVID. And, you know, usually Wednesdays I go to her place, because she makes me food and she feeds me on Wednesdays, and I would like to go. So, I've already prayed for this, Lord, but I'm going to come to you again, because I know I have the authority over these evil spirits that are trying to come on to your child again. And I pray in Jesus' name that she's healed and that she recognizes her authority again that she has. She understands her authority and she knows to have faith. But for her to keep that faith and walk in that faith and to be reminded of the power that is behind the Holy Spirit that you have given her, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you've given to me through them, through the encouragement and through the fellowship that I have with that family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Is she going to the hospital or?
She hasn't gone to the hospital.
Praise God.
But praise God.
Amen.
And then one more. Karen has a friend in Colombia, and she's apparently very susceptible to like diseases. She's just very frail and weak. And she got cancer, or she's getting diagnosed, or they're diagnosing her cancer. And so I'd like to lift up Ileana to our Father, Lord God. I pray for Ileana. I don't know much about her, but I want you to bring to her attention the authority that you can invest into her and give her a repentant mind to show her the way of Christ, to show her the true life and the true wisdom that she can gain in your word. And your spirit can guide her not only through a healing, through a miraculous healing of this lie, of this cancer, but to give her a new way of life of love, of healing, and of true righteousness in your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. We command that spirit of cancer off of her right now in the name of Jesus. We command the spirit of the fear of cancer off of her in the
Amen.
Name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that Ariana is healed, delivered, and set free by your spirit. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to get the glory for it because
Amen.
The doctors can't do anything with that stuff except kill folks. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Is that it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right. Go ahead, Missy.
About those wildfires, Dutch Sense did a video on it, and it looks like it's DEW because there's a whole bunch that started almost simultaneously. And I saw a picture on my weather app of a Canadian man standing where his house burnt. And it looks very similar, like it was incinerated, like the DEW weapons do. So, how do we pray about this? Father, we just pray, Lord, for your protection upon your elect, Lord. We know there's many, many things, Lord, that you... We just ask you for your mercy and your grace in this. We ask you, Lord, to not permit them. We just ask you to, Lord, oh my God, you know, I feel like I can't pray it away, Lord, but we ask you for your mercy and grace upon your elect, Lord, and that you spare them, keep them safe, Lord, and you bring to justice, Lord, in your time, whenever that may be, Lord, to those that are doing this. And it's, you know, deep state, I'm sure, in some shape or form. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that the deep state is defeated in many avenues, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for exposing all these perpetrators, setting these fires in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Now that was my prayer. So I'll let yours stand.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steal your thunder, but
it's okay.
All right. All right, anyone else? Dutch Sense. Yeah, it was Dutch Sense, Ben. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
I'd like y'all to agree with me in prayer that lives will be spared in Haiti. There's like unprecedented flooding. We had a wall that went down at our school and mission, and it saved all the buildings, but they're just starting their hurricane season down there, and a lot of everybody lost pretty much everything they had. So we're just, the next few days we'll hear more from our group down there if they've what their needs are and how bad it is. But it was really terrible. A lot of heavy water flow and just cleanse the island basically in that part south of Port-au-Prince. So just pray that Father, in the name of Jesus, that what the enemy means to destroy, you will make it good. So there's some good coming through this, and lives are going to be changed, and the kingdom of God is going to prevail. So Father, I just thank you for your visitation on your body in Haiti, Lord. And I thank you for restoring joy and restoring hope. And I thank you for Jesus Christ in their lives, Lord, that they are, they have a heart for you, the ones that I know down there. And I thank you, Lord, that this is a time where they're coming through the test. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, let revival come because of it, in Jesus' name. Go across that land there. Lord, they have lived in such oppressive behavior in the last many, many years. Lord, I just ask that you set them free with the revival coming through that land, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, hallelujah. All right, Missy.
I forgot to mention about the fires. We're getting a lot of smoke. It's really bad haze, and the sunrises are coming up, and the moon rises are that aren't the sun and the moon are like real orange and stuff like that. There's quite a bit of, smoke.
Hey, haze. Merle.
He's gone. Anyway, Father, yes, we do ask you to take the smoke up, diminish it, get rid of it, send your angels and diminish it, Lord, that it does not pollute the air, Lord, and put out these fires in the name of Jesus. Bring great rain, Lord. And I know I've heard of you doing that before, and nowadays, where rain came out of nowhere and all. And we just ask you to do that, to put out these fires, Lord, and show that you are God and there is no other, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for getting rid of the smoke. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Obadiah, where's your little brother? Can't read lips.
But what? He couldn't hear you.
Life isn't bad, but I'm gonna go to bed now too.
Oh man, okay, Obi.
I got a big day tomorrow with Nona.
Ah, okay. What you gonna be doing?
Going to see Gabe and Bobby.
Oh, okay. All right, that'll be great. All right. Good night.
Good night.
That boy, he is a sweetheart. Well, you can't be a sweetheart and be a boy, can you? Can't do that. No, you can't be no sweetheart. He's a macho man. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request? When Obi, what he asked the Lord, do y'all remember what he asked the Lord before he had that vision in heaven? You remember what he asked the Lord? He said, Lord, clean my heart so that I could go to heaven. Something similar to that. I forget what exactly it was, but it was awesome. Yeah, Anna, tell me what he said. That was awesome.
Sorry, I didn't know if you were asking what he said. Yeah, his dream started out where he asked the Lord to remove all spiritual uncleanness out of his heart, because he knew if he did that he wouldn't be able to make it into heaven.
And amen. Then
that's the Lord let him
awesome.
The gate into heaven.
Awesome.
Seeing Jesus and the Father. So.
Amen. That's my request too. Thank you, Lord. All right. Hey, Barbara. David. Annalena, Isaac, Mariana, Breon, Josie, Andrea, Debbie. Where's Victory? She's trying to come on.
She's going to be getting on. She forgot about the time change, the difference in the hours.
Okay.
She's going to be getting on.
All right. Good deal. All right. I've
just
got
by telephone. Sorry.
All right.
Sorry. It's okay. Done.
All right, I got a world-class praise song if y'all ready to get up out your chair and go to praising God. Y'all ready? All right, here it comes.
Behold! Elijah declaring the word of the Lord, and these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Behold.
The dry bones becoming fresh, and these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of prayer. And these are the days of the harvest, yes Lord. The fields are as white in your word, yes, and we are the laborers in your Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
That's an awesome rendition of that, man. That'll get you fired up, won't it? Yeah, we do, Judy. We do. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Woohoo! I look like a Benny Hinn setting. Yeah, I believe that would be it. All right. Anybody got anything they want to pray about before we go into tonight's subject that I know everybody here has got an email, went through and checked it out and have studied it this last hour? I think that's about all I gave you, about an hour. What is that, Missy? I see you got fingers. That's nice.
45 minutes you gave us.
Well, if you're a child of God, you ought to have memorized the word of God. You ought to have this one down.
I'm out.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Isaac. Do what? I missed that.
Okay. Hey, everybody.
Ah.
Hello. Man, I just got a, I don't know, it's, you know, it's kind of a quick question, but something that we don't, we can just go over real quick. This something happened to me yesterday. We went out to the library yesterday, wife and kids. And when we were at the library, they had like a whole aisle full of books, and it really hurt my feelings. And I'm joking, but they had a whole aisle full of, LGBTQ books and all this crazy stuff, man. And I live out in the country, and it's like, how does that get over here? And I mean, any little kid could have walked over and looked at that stuff. And like, we're talking trans books, and it's just unbelievable. And we've been going to this library a long time, and it helps us, with our, homeschooling and all that. And, when we were leaving, I looked over and I seen this woman walking around in all black. And I'm telling you, she had to be a witch. Had to be. Absolutely had to be. And I know that sounds real judgmental, but man, you just know what you know. And
does she have a hat on?
No, I didn't even give her that much. But, I asked Mary and I said, who is that? And she goes, well, that's a new employee. I'm like, man, golly. Anyways, my question is this, I wonder if we're prepared to walk away from that library and just never go back. It is helpful. It's really helped us. You know, Israel reads books there and Isaiah reads books there, but I don't know. I mean, I know the right thing to do is go to the Lord before it. But I was kind of asking you guys, what do y'all think? I mean, this is just, I mean, if you give them a piece of your life, they're going to gain a foothold. And that's, you know, and that's the thing about with these people. It's unnatural. I think Romans chapter 1 covers it pretty well. It's unnatural to the point they can't have their own children. So they're coming after yours. They want your children. And that's what it comes down to. And I just, it really bothered me. And so I don't know if anybody got something they want to add or what they would do. I'm really interested to hear about it. Thanks.
Okay. Go ahead, Claire.
I just want to share that when we realized the agenda at our library, I used to go to the library with my kids every week when they were very little, and it was just board books. And then probably about 3 years ago, we went one day, and there was just a different vibe. I don't know that there was specifically somebody new, but there was just something. And it was also during COVID, and we've never been back. We just haven't been back. The Lord's helped us to buy secondhand books for things that we think are going to be read by more than one child. I've loaned books from other Christian families. I've given them. I've got quite a nice little bookshelf here. But I don't know. That's what we did. We just said, well, we refuse to participate with that. So that's what we did. But I don't know if that's right or not, but that's what we did. So I just thought I'd share.
Amen. All right, Ben's got the answer. Go ahead, bro.
Well, maybe not an answer, but what you brought up, Isaac, it reminds me of a video of a preacher talking in front of a school board, and he's basically reading one of these books at one of those school boards, and the school board had to cut him off because it was too
risque.
Like, Yeah. And it's like, well, my kid's reading this. Like, you're giving these to kids. And yeah. And it also reminds me of my friend Corey. His daughter is, well, she was 5, so she would have been in kindergarten. And they were teaching him that. And Corey didn't know that they were teaching him that. And, well, he's a bit of a firecracker, so he went a little angry about it. He's a good guy, just he gets caught in his emotions sometimes. And it's exactly what Isaac said, you know, it's not just their own kids, they want to have yours, you know? But from what you guys are doing, you guys are homeschooling them. So you're already doing the right thing. You're not letting that get into them. So my dad homeschooled my sister and I think I was only homeschooled for a year or two. And it was because of the whole, my dad didn't want us to learn evolution, but now it's sort of progressed. It's sort of progressed. Now it's, oh, homosexuals are okay. Oh, now transgenders are okay. And anyways, it's getting worse and worse with each passing generation. And I mean, I can only guess as to what's going to happen next, but there are organizations that are, in talking in government gatherings about, there's an association called Boy Man Love, and it's about minor attracted people. And it's quite, it's very disturbing. I'll share a link, but it's quite disturbing what people are talking about, what people are trying to support.
Well, the thing that allows this to happen is no action upon the people around it. That's what they just, well, okay, that's just what it is. No, you could pray that out of there. You can pray it out. My opinion. Go ahead, Judith.
Yeah, it's their agenda. I guess what I was thinking is, you know, we don't get involved, you know, in the natural or anything like that, but the Lord has given us authority over that stuff, and we can definitely pray against it and pray that, you know, first that God's, you know, children, the elect and little innocent children would, you know, be spared from finding it being put on them and that kind of stuff, and break Satan's power off of it. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do. I once went into a store that was selling just, you know, occultic stuff and witchcraft stuff and all kinds of things. And I just went in there and was quietly praying in the spirit. It's probably being watched too. There's little cameras everywhere, but I was praying in the spirit quietly. And in my mind, I was breaking curses all that stuff. And, you know, just praying against it and, you know, praying that God's people would, you know, not fall into that kind of thing. It comes to like the libraries and stuff, they're public libraries, so people utilize it. So, you know, I don't know that we can stop it per se, because that's just what's happening in the world right now. It's pretty dark, but I definitely think you can go in there and just pray over it. You know, just not, you don't have to be over it, but just even just pray over it from your home, whatever, and just break its power and pray preventively that, you know, other children would not be exposed to that and protection and that kind of thing, because God knows who they are. You know, that's all I wanted to say about that. It's like, you know, our warfare, our prayers against that kind of stuff are effectual.
Amen. Y'all remember the story of Antoine LaVey's daughter, and she went to a preacher and his wife, or they met her and took her in, and she was just a mess. They had witchcraft everywhere, you know, and Antoine LaVey would soul travel and come and get into her. And then he would talk to the preacher and tell him what he's going to do, you know. And the preacher said, no, ain't going to happen. And he did it a couple of times. And he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, how can we stop this from this girl? We're trying to help her. And her dad keeps coming in soul traveling, taking her over. The Lord said, cut his cord. And that's what happened to Antoine LaVey. A preacher cut his silver cord, and that was the end of him. No more problems. That's the power that he's given us as prayer warriors. If we believe, we can affect the things around us. But it takes, a lot of times it takes an effort on our part to do the things that we want done. Like, it's not just a one-time prayer, you know, it's a daily thing. Okay. Anybody else on witches in the library? I had been in a library, and I can't tell you when. I used to go all the time, like y'all, before I came to the Lord. Yeah, Pat.
So it's interesting that, I mean, what we're looking at, obviously, is a spirit that has been unleashed on America and obviously the world. And society is greatly complicit in it. If you watch some of these videos and the drag shows and all that, that sort of debauchery, the thing that always gets me is that you have parents sitting through that process with their children. And I'm thinking, it's a spirit that has overtaken society. And the people in society that are just allowing it to, you know, passively allowing it to happen. But I mean, these are participants. It's, if you look at, watch these, town hall meetings or school board meetings where they bring this stuff up, you have the people that are in authority in these meetings. They are complicit in this, and they think that the people that are raising a fuss about it are radicals. And I mean, we were just talking about it, my wife and I were just talking about this, because there's now the thing in business, in businesses, is what do you call them, preferred pronouns or something like that for names, or that you refer to people as they or them or something. And that is, that is just a, the darkness that we are in has overtaken people. And, to what degree we should stand against it, I know that there's the reason, you know, reasons behind this, that you know, the Lord is allowing this, the darkness, to permeate society. And I guess to a certain degree, we have to stand in some fashion against that to reveal the light. To what degree that is, I'm not, you know, I'm not quite sure how that can happen. However, that preacher, you know, asked the Lord how to deal with it, he got a very straight and quick to the point answer, and boom, that solved that problem real quick, you know. I didn't hear that story, but So he's no longer with us, I'm assuming.
Oh, he died. They did this years ago.
Okay.
And another thing, what happened, Pat, is his wife or daughter, other daughter or something, was going to do the same thing. And the preacher told her, said, go ahead. You'll end up just like your dad. I believe it was his other daughter. And, boy, she got scared real quick and shut it down.
Hmm. Did any That's of the them boldest. Repent? Did the daughter repent?
The one that they had?
Yes.
Yeah, she's a child of God, you know. She had to go through a bunch of deliverance and stuff, but they did. They were going to sacrifice her. They were going to sacrifice him. That's what she was bred and born for, the sacrifice.
Wow.
And she'd already seen a lot of kids sacrificed. You know, it's just a terrible story. But it turned out good.
Wow.
That's what happened to that man. He overstepped his boundary. Glory to God. The reason I told that story is that is the authority that God has given us to take care of these things that happen to us. That's why we're created in his image, not just to flow right on into tonight's subject. did everybody see the email that I sent out? Did you check your email within the last 45 minutes? Because I sent it out late, but I've been busy all day. That's okay. What does a person that's created in God's image look like and act like? Yeah, Missy. Now don't just say Jesus. I ain't gonna work for me. Now go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say that, but you know, it looks like the Word. I mean, Jesus is the Word made flesh. You know,
yeah.
We really should be living, talking, walking Jesus's, you know.
What happens when we are created in his image right then? What happens? It's a new birth, right?
Yeah.
We're new people. The old part's gone now. No part's gone. Yeah. We walked out of that and walked into a new kingdom. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, what came to my mind when I read the question said, what does the created in his image look like? It looks like you and you and you and you and you, because we are all that new image. We are all that image. We are made in his image and we look just like him. We all with an unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And this is by God the Spirit. And also it's like you said, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old's gone, passed away. We're all new creatures. And praise the Lord. Yeah, we're his. That's Amen. Where the created image of him.
So what you're saying is the new image, when we got born again, that changed us dramatically, right?
We got a new spirit when we got born again. And then, yeah, and we're maturing and growing.
Processes are changed. Everything has changed.
We're coming more. He spoke, you know, he knew us before the foundation of the world, right? He already saw what he created then. Oh, yeah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Samuel, go ahead, brother.
I got a vision a while ago, kind of about this. I saw a CD drive and a CD disc, and it was God putting it into the drive, and on the computer, he made an image from that disc, a virtual copy. And each one of these copies is one of us. just like the original disc, but it's in a different like format, I suppose. That's what I saw. I wrote the vision down a while ago.
Awesome.
We're just like him, but in a different way, but our function is just the same. And you can produce a disc from that, like the branch from the vine. So praise God.
Praise God. That's awesome. Thank you, Father, for doing it. Glory be to God. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, you see, any father or mother knows about this. You have these little ones, they're called babies, and that's how we appear. We appear like this little child of God, a baby, when we first get started, and we grow from there. You know, when Jesus was born, he was prophesied over as a sign by a very elderly man that he's going to be a sign spoken against. And you know, you're going to be spoken against too, because you have that Jesus in you. Even when, as soon as the day happens, people are going to think you're crazy that you have come to the Lord and the Lord called you out of this, out of the nations into the kingdom. And you're supposed to seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord and his righteousness. And he's going to sanctify and cleanse you with a washing of water by his word. And you start out as this little child and you grow from there, you know, and your image is according to what someone already quoted, glory to glory, even from the Lord, even as the Lord. And when you're looking in that mirror, of course, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But also, you know, it goes from glory to glory because you're maturing. And it goes from faith to faith, as it says in Romans 1:16-17. It says there, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, that's the same power that's in Luke 1:37. And it's also the same power that's mentioned in, since his divine power hath given to us all things pertaining unto life and godliness. So, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek. For herein is being revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. And of course, the righteous live by faith. And there's also an advancement there, going from faith to faith and glory to glory. And there's also an advancement in your grace from God. You know, the God of all grace perfect you, establish you, and strengthen you. So because of his fullness, we all received. That's something already happened. Grace upon grace. So grace is also progressive. And in Romans chapter 13, verse 10, it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And now this knowing, awake out of your sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. So this salvation is also something that's progressive and you're growing. So here you have your glory being progressive, your faith being progressive, your salvation being progressive, and now also your grace being progressive. And with this progression in grace, you get everything from grace. So the 9 fruits of the Spirit, you're getting more grace to have more love, more joy, more peace, more long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, kindness, and self-control. All this is progressing in you too. But you will be spoken against more and more as you mature in the Lord. To the point where your holiness improves also. Because these are fruits of the Holy Spirit. And These are gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they are blessings of the Holy Spirit. So that's a progression too. And you will shine brighter and brighter. You will go and bear fruit that the Lord wants you to know. And even just knowing what is the truth, you know, puts you in a certain level. You know, even before any manifestations happen, you are manifesting through the truth your love toward God to obey Him. Whether it be post-tribulation rapture, the correction that we all came through from the denomination we were first in to where we are now. So even just with that, that's a big thing. And that has to be cleared up too, so that we can have 1 John 3:1-3. And it's a wonderful hope to have in Christ that way. Because I don't think I can quote those three verses, but there is a true love of God for us there. And we are loved by Him. And we're not yet manifested fully to the manifestation that we should be, but we are going in the right direction to be matured. You know, you were considered a man at 30, but at 13 in the old covenant, you stepped into a manhood. And it's almost like you were prepared for that all your life to step in this new step in your life to no longer be this child, but starting out to be a young man. And then, of course, at 30, you were even considered to speak in public about what you know in the Lord. So anyways, I'm just saying that it's a process of progress in many ways that the Lord is going to progress us. If the darkness increases, the light has to increase also. But sometimes I wonder about that for some people who do need correction, instruction in righteousness, you know, as it says there in 2 Timothy 3:16, I think, and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So with the increase of this righteousness, which is also a blessing, according to Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And there is a blessing at the attaining of the righteousness, not for the flesh, but for the spirit man, which you are. You're the spirit man now. And the apostles were beat up and told not to speak in His name. And they rejoiced in the Lord when that happened. They I don't know how badly they got wounded, but they did rejoice. And we rejoice at the simplest of things, even when they roll their eyes at you or say something behind your back. And these are all suffering, a cross, your cross, whatever you did suffer, because His name is called the Word of God. And we have a journey to do this. In our journey, we get older as time goes by. So there's a lot of variables here. I don't even know what the question is, but I think I'm describing to you that what happens to a person. You know, there's growth in this, wonderful growth. And we're all brothers and sisters, and we all have to be linked together, knit together in this love. You can't dismiss a brother because you know who the Father is. we do look in as sometimes as a big brother, sometimes taking over for the father if a father passes away, but we have a father that's alive, and we have a father in Jesus also, because he abides in the Father and we are to abide in Jesus. So there is a big brother kind of way of looking at it for Jesus, but he's also a father figure just as the apostles are. You're a sheet of paper known and read of all men, just like the Corinthians were. You're the same epistle known and read of all men. That's what we are, and people could read you. They don't have to. You don't have to really say anything. They'll read you right away. The same way you read their spirits that are on them, they read you. But usually it comes with conversation. They can read you. They know there's a difference between you and them. Just how much they know, I guess they would know more if you spoke with them. You know. Anyway, this is some of the things that I've gone through, and I'm sure everyone's gone through on their journey, and there's still much more journey he has us here for. But glory be to God, because he choreographs us to do these things. I don't want to take too much time, but they read some articles from some of the first century martyrs, and you didn't volunteer yourself to be martyred. It just happened. The same way Cornelius happened. The jailer happened in their salvations, of course. And with Saul becoming Paul the Apostle on his road to Damascus, it just follows through. And you may have to be a great witness one day before people, whoever you're placed before. Anyway, that's the way it happens. You know? It happens like your day when you got saved. Your witness will have to come that way also. And you must trust in the Lord, in the walk and in the journey. In the future path that you have. We look from present to future. We don't look too much at the past, as it says in Philippians. So praise and glory to God for that. Anyways, glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead, Ben.
Well, when I just read the email, so but what came to my mind was actually a chapter in Philippians, and since my dad brought up love, I'll also bring up something from a book that I've been reading called Absolute Surrender by Andrew Murray. But the verse that came into my mind was Philippians chapter 2 verse 4, not looking each severally to his own things, but each severally also to those of others. And that really got my mind spinning on what it means to truly love someone. And in the book that Andrew Murray wrote is that the fruit of the Spirit is love. Why? Because nothing but love can expel and conquer our selfishness. So what I'm going to try and explain here is that what God is conquering through us is ourself, and we have to go to our cross and deny ourselves. So basically that's the ultimate goal, is that it's no longer just like a selfish life that you're living, but it's a life edifying to others. And in 1 Corinthians 14 and 26, it says, let all things be unto edifying. And when you mean all things, if you're no longer just looking for your own self gratification or whatnot, and you're just looking towards edifying others or loving others or telling someone the truth, because that's also edifying. It's no longer your own life that you live, but it's Christ's life that you're living. I'm just paraphrasing Galatians 2:20 there, but you're God's loving people through you. And that's the image that Jesus had. And again, in Philippians, it shows the humility that Jesus had. You know, he was God's Son Almighty, but he humbled himself. He humbled himself to not, like, live the selfish life that he had, but he did it to edify others. He professed the truth. He denied his sort of nobility that he could have had in his flesh life, but he sort of served the spirituality of all of us by giving us this word, by giving an example. It's no longer just the life that we have, but it's the life of others. And when you think about it, if everyone sort of just denied themselves and looked towards everyone else, you'd be taken care of, because then everyone would be taking care of each other. So if everyone had this one mind, this one body, this one Christ, we would all be loving each other so much, you wouldn't have to worry about yourself. Anyways, I guess that's just a positive way of looking at it. Unfortunately, there's tears and darkness for a reason. And that's just the way God made it, the wonderful world that he made. And anyways, it's what God showed me is that true love is selfless love. It's not like, oh, what could happen for me? It's what can I do for others? Once you take yourself out of the equation, it's just Christ working through you and talking through you for that person that you're talking for or doing things for. Anyways. Glory to God.
Amen. I must say, man, you're growing up fast, boy.
Glory to God. I would definitely recommend chapter 2, An Absolute Surrender. It's a very good, encouraging read.
I would recommend the whole book. I've read that book
I don't
know how many times. Yeah, Patrick, go ahead.
So I was looking at those verses. And so just to read them, lie not one to another, saying that ye have put off the old man with his doings and have put on the new man, that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. So I went up to the first verse in that chapter, and Paul is pointing to, he wants us to look at the authority structure that is in place there. And in order to look at that authority structure, I want to go back to chapter 1, because that's really the foundation of this. In verse 11 in chapter 1, which says, verse 10, to walk worthily of the Lord. Well, let me go to 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray and make request for you, that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And I thought it was interesting here that Paul was praying for them to be filled with the knowledge, because there is the possibility, the distinct possibility, that people following God or starting with God, do not pursue it to be filled with his knowledge in the replacement process. And only when we are filled with his knowledge and we are in submission to that knowledge, we will walk worthily, verse 10, of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, unto all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That point being that we have been made able to be partakers means that there's the possibility that we can refuse to be partakers in that inheritance, or we can neglect pursuing that inheritance. But this was the verse I wanted to get to. Who delivered us out of the power of darkness? That word power is not the word dunamis power. This is the word exousia, which means authority or kingdom. He's delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness and completely translated us over into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation? So, in that chapter 3, verse 1, it says, if then ye were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. And I think we have to kind of ask ourselves, who is Paul talking to here? Is he talking to my soul or my spirit? What's the differentiation there? If then ye were raised together with Christ, what was raised? Was my soul raised with Christ, or was it my spirit that was raised with Christ? And I personally believe it was my spirit that was raised with Christ, and he is telling our spirits to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above. And that, I think, is referring to you, your spirit. Set your mind, or your earthly package here, set your mind upon the things above. You force your mind to dwell and think upon the things that are above, where you're sitting at the right hand of God in Jesus. For he says, you died, and your life, your spirit, is hid with Christ in God. Where? In heavenly places, sitting at the right hand of God, our spirit. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, Where is he manifested? He's manifested in our soul life here on the planet. That's where he's manifesting. Then shall ye, who's the ye? The ye is my spirit. Then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. Put to death, therefore, your members. Those members are on the earth. Those members that are, those activities that are motivated and have their source in the earthly perspective of your nature, of your soul, put those to death by your dwelling in heavenly places and being able to perceive the cause and effect relationships that are functioning in that soul. Put to death your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, etc., etc., where you once walked. And lie not, verse 9, one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man. And this is where I believe that new commandment that Jesus gave us to love one another, that he has had me focusing on for the last 2 or 3 months. This is where he wants us to lie not to one another, be openly and brutally honest with our brothers and sisters around us, be open and honest of what's happening in my life, my reactions, my responses, my all these things, and pursue loving my brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is for all of us to love each other as Christ loved us. And so lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off that old man, that old sin nature with his doing, and have put on the new man that is being renewed unto knowledge. That new man is my spirit in Jesus, receiving from Jesus, running that truth of God's knowledge through my soul and allowing it to expose and kick out the impurities that resist that word, and allow God's transforming living word to, excuse me, to transform that nature, my nature, that it, what's the word I'm trying to think of? It unites and unifies in its expression with the life of Christ that I'm living with in heavenly places. And in so doing, my life, which is hid in Christ, once that soul has been transformed by that word, then I shall appear with Jesus in that manifestation of life, and so reveal the image of Christ in my soul. So I don't know if that sounded awful wordy coming from me, but anyway, that's kind of what I'm thinking of those verses. All right.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, Patrick mentioned the scripture verse that's in the Colossians 3 and 9. The very beginning of it says, lie not one to another. And I since we're 24 people here, Matthew 24 says, 24 and 5 says, take heed that no one lead you astray, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. So that's a liar. And we're only supposed to speak the oracles of God. And this person has the covenant. He knows of his salvation. And it makes me kind of wonder, when you're ordered only to speak the oracles of God, you know, then that's what you should do, you know. So it does come with explaining, trying to get in our simple words that we have to try and explain what the Lord is trying to say across in some of these verses. But this person is in his name. And of course, you know, verse 9 does say that his name's sake, you know, they'll kill you, and ye shall be hated of all the nations for his name's sake. And I would say that you can't lie one to another, because the father of all lies is the devil, and we don't want to do that. So we want to always speak that sweet word. And of course, you know, there is ignorance and there is error. And we pray for brethren to be in one accord, even as it says, in one mind and one judgment, you know, and not to put any stumbling blocks before our brothers and sisters. And because usually with these divisions, you know, it's really not right, you know. You're almost like you're being taught a lie, you know, in some of these places that I used to be in the past. And it's kind of amazing how the Lord has to take you out of that, so that you could see the truth. And sometimes you attain more truth after you do come out from one of these places that don't have the full gospel. And there's such a danger for these people who claim to be teachers, as it says in James chapter 3, verse 1. They don't have the... They didn't step on that serpent when they were supposed to, which is the false doctrine, false direction. You know, when you even sometimes hear them denying the master who bought them. And so you know, I always wondered about why they would be saved and they would get baptized, and then they call them sinners after that, you know. They need to go back to their baptism, maybe Romans chapter 6, and review some things there to be free from sin. Even if you just remember, free from sin. It says it twice there somewhere. And, you know, for all you people who like to talk Southern talk, when you're supposed to reckon yourself dead to sin indeed, and alive to God through Christ Jesus, then you better count yourself as dead to sin indeed, and alive to God. This word is as powerful as that word that says, for no word of God shall be void of power. And unbelief is a sin. It's somewhere there in Revelation. And that's a good warning for you. You know, God's not doing this to convict you of sin when he warns you and gives you warnings in the word. He's doing this to to love you. Don't go that way, son. You know, how many times do you read those first few Proverbs, you know, because it's the sixth day now, and he always starts them off, my son, he wants you to search out that understanding and that wisdom and knowledge. And you tend to just be very content and happy with the Father that's almighty, that's leading them and guiding them. That's what it also means to be this new man and in Christ, you know, in this new creation. Because whether it be by chastening or quick repentance given for you to change your mind on something, you should do it. It's a lot better when you change your mind really quick. But how does the Lord do it when there seems to be false teaching for someone? But he's saying, you know, I just read that 24 and 5. It's scary because that 24 and 5 does have something to do with Revelation 13:11. And that's, you know, the two horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon there. And so it's nerve wracking because there's so many different denominations. I would always say, and, you know, there was four in the first page of Corinthians, but we have 10 to 11,000 for each one of those four now, more multiplied. And I'm sure we can even hear that dragon is already speaking in some of these places, just in the recent things that have come to pass. The very recent things that they're allowing. And it should not be so. It's, you go to back to the generation of your grandfather, and it would never be even seen that way. Yeah. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Well, I think the biggest problems that we have in Christianity today, and I'm going to go back to the first part of it, is this new creation, this new birth of what it is and what it's for. Most of the people see the new birth as just wiping the slate clean. I can start all over now. And simply as they've been forgiven for all of their sins, and now they got a chance to go to heaven or a right to go to heaven now. And that's it. They sit on that the whole time that they're Christian. When in fact, just like y'all have been talking about here, what is the new birth all about? The new birth is about a relationship with the Father, reestablishing that relationship with the Father that Adam broke. When Christ went to the cross, he did that. He gave us that avenue to the Father again to walk in his stead. And that's why Jesus wants us to look like him. And to bring what? To bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth. And how do you do that? Walking like Jesus. Acting like Jesus, talking like Jesus. What did he do? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. And when we look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, how do we get to that? And we've talked about this many, many times, and that's to renew our mind with the Word of God. That's how you grow up in Christ. To renew your mind. You know, what's funny is you can tell your family members, you know, you can join the Army or the Navy or the Air Force or the Marines or whatever, what service that you go into and go to boot camp for 12 weeks or ever how long it is now. I don't know how long it is, but, and they won't say a word. Man, they'll pat you on the back. Man, that's a great thing you've done, you know. You come out, you've been brainwashed into how to become a soldier, conform. But when you go to Christ, you surrender yourself to Christ. Oh, don't get locked up into that cult. That's the way they think. But our job is to show them what Christ was like. And y'all talked about the love a while ago. That's essential. That's essential, is that love that God wants us to give to the world. And when you see a man or a woman in need, help them out. That's the love that God did. He had compassion, he said, many times in the Gospels. Jesus had compassion. We get that love by the Word of God. We're talking to the Lord. Okay, anybody else? I just thought I'd throw that a little bit in there. Yeah, Joe.
If I can add my two cents in the Bible with Adam, the first Adam, was just a shadow of image that was talking about. And the second, the last Adam, Jesus, was the exact copy. The one you sent in Colossians after the image, but explains it perfectly is, for me, 1 Corinthians 15:45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, he's just a shadow of things to come, becoming a loving soul. And the last Adam is the exact copy. Be striving to get to the last, well, not we bore the image of the heavenly. We can't get to the exact copy. Only Jesus was the exact copy, but be striving in now image of the heavenly, the new creation. It's similar usage, but this was written easier for me to understand. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus. I understand a couple of words.
I think I got some of that the first Adam was like a shadow of that which is to come, and then Christ came, who was the, you're calling him
the exact copy. Yeah.
The exact copy from heaven that we're to be conformed to. But he's the only true copy, and we're just, you know, we want to be like.
Sorry, he's a character, yeah. We're just representation, sorry. We're just a representation. He's the exact copy, the character, yeah.
The character, like a typewriter key.
Yeah.
For those who, you know. The old typewriter would actually let it, you know, the mark on the ink on the paper.
Oh, my time.
Yeah, I know, Michael.
Amen, Joe. Yeah, Jesus was a exact character. He wants us to be just like you. All right, anyone else? Yeah, no tree, huh? You working trigonometry over there, Clarence?
No, just area. Too little for trig, I think.
All right, anyone else? Is that it? We've already come to the conclusion that all we have to do is just be like Jesus. That's pretty neat. How many of you know it's a longer road than that? That's a long road to get to there. It doesn't have to be, I guess. You see, David's been doing it for 50 years. I've been doing it for less than half of that. Yeah, Pat.
Michael, I was looking there at the next verses after that, being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created. And then the next few verses gives you an example of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, etc. In verse 14, it says, and above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness or completeness or perfection. I believe that's probably the same word, if I'm not mistaken. Completeness. Yes. And I think that is the end result, or the what Paul was talking about in Hebrews 10, where it said that I'm going to radically paraphrase this, but he's talking about the perfected or completed, those that are sanctified in one act. In other words, that one act of sacrifice in the heavenlies is that place in the spirit, that completeness, that perfectness is already there, but has to be through love brought into our soul and completed in our soul life. And so I just thought that verse there was fitting. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to the which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart unto the Lord. So, anyway, I just thought I'd throw that last verse in there.
So, if we, what are the steps to being like Jesus? That Jesus told us about. In the parable of the sower. Okay. Well, he told us that there was the sun glory. Then he told us there was the moon glory. What does the sun glory represent? Star glory. I got going backwards here. Star glory. What's the star glory? Where is that? What does that mean? Yeah, Ben.
30-fold fruit.
Okay.
That's all I know.
Well, that's good. All right, Joe, go ahead.
Self-righteousness?
Yeah. Getting rid of that, huh?
Yeah.
Getting rid of self-righteousness. All right. Then we jump up to moon glory. Yeah, Missy.
60-fold fruit and represents dead, and you reflect the sun.
Okay, dead where?
To self.
Dead to soul, yeah, self, yes. Amen. So you're dead to self then, it's 60-fold. What's the 100-fold? Is that the resurrection life?
Shining like the sun.
Yeah. Shining like the sun. Okay. Yeah, that's a 100-fold fruit. That's where your body, soul, and spirit are all changed. So how do we attain the 100-fold? Go ahead, Julie.
We retain it by faith.
I'm sorry, you did what?
We obtain it by faith.
Absolutely.
Because it's already been given to us.
Yep, we do it by faith. And that's, what does that, well, I'm trying to go somewhere with this and I'm going the wrong way. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, you see, you retain the sun glory on the morning of this, on the morning of the proper day to attain it, which is the seventh day. And there's a few sevens that are going to be fulfilled. We're on the morning of the seventh day. And we're on the morning of the third day. So we got two mornings here at the same time. And there's every year from the 7 years when they start will be a morning of a new year. And we have to attain the growth even within those years that will be the final years that we have on this morning of the seventh day. And I don't think we do this commending ourselves by any way or trying to get it there by our own self, but it's the Lord manifesting it. We're here to show we are children of God and sons of God, whatever maturity we have, and we glorify God. We're supposed to anyway, as much as possible, to show we are children of God. Because the people beside you have to read you and have to know what you're like. And we have to be the proper amount of humility and all that stuff that the Lord wants us to have so that we could shine for Him and we can rest in our shining for Him. So that's all I'm going to say there. Praise God. Glory to God.
Right. Amen. Well, just you were talking about it. It's faith that gets us wherever we want to go. It's always faith. If you believe, you'll attain it. You'll do everything that you find out in the book. Listen, we're ambassadors of Christ. And if we're ambassadors of Christ, we want to look like Christ and talk like Christ and love like Christ. We want to bring the kingdom of heaven down here, and that's what we do. And if you walk in that humility, like Ben was talking about that book that Andrew Murray has, we want to surrender to everything to Him and allow Him to work through us in the way best that he can do through us, and we will attain that hundredfold fruit. I believe, well, I know that the Man Child Ministry is going to be walking in that hundredfold fruit. And that's I believe that's going to take us, the Man Child, up to the throne of God, spiritually speaking.
Could I just say something?
Yeah.
You know, in the book of Acts, Peter had a dissimulation. And he had a hundredfold fruit. He was an apostle. He wasn't being rebuked as much as being shown what's transpiring at that time. Okay. Peter knew. He was just reminded, and he was not in error. Okay. He was afraid for the other people that were there because he didn't want them to fail. They were Jews, you know, and they weren't supposed to eat with the Gentiles. But, you know, he was kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, if I could use that saying. But the Lord proved Paul was an apostle there too. He proved his position through that. And that's the way it'll work in the future for us. You know, whatever form of witness you are, that's how you'll be corrected too. You see, not by a force that's a strong force, but a boldness, a mutual boldness of coming to the Lord and receiving that admonition, a soft rebuke or correction from the brother and sister who might be at your same level or even more mature than you. That's how you have to approach it the first way before you would take action, let's say, for Matthew 18, you know. I just got that right now, you know, so I don't know. That's also a quality of Christ. So, you know, when you saw Christ as a 12-year-old, I would have gotten in big trouble if I spent an overnight in a city and not at home at that age. And that's all I'm going to say about that, because he didn't have his full maturity yet, but any parent would be very upset with a child who's 12 or 13 spending an overnight, as it says in Luke. He was in a safe place, just goes to show how much of a better society they had back then too, when the whole nation is supposed to be a covenant nation. You know, it's a much safer kind of atmosphere, which I think should be in the spirit also. Because it was still pretty much the letter there, because Jesus was just a small boy. So, not that I want to get Jesus as a small boy in trouble or anything, but it's a little understandable that, you know, he knew his mother and father would be worried about him, but he was in the temple talking to work in a safe place, talking to the people with safe people. You know, sometimes when we try to reflect on how that looks in our society, with that society, you should be in a very safe place among brethren. And that's what I think it means, especially the younger ones. You know, he was in the temple, but we are supposed to be that temple now. Praise and glory to God.
Yeah, that was a defining moment in Jesus' life there. All right, anyone else?
I thought I'd munch down on a lightsaber after that one.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, regardless of where we are, it's going to be an interesting time coming up here shortly. When the man child is anointed, I know that we've had dreams in the past about how many we're going to be in the man child ministry coming out of this ministry. And it's astounding. It's astounding. And as you know, there are, I believe David teaches there's two ways of the man-child ministry. I think we talked about this last week a little bit. Two ways of the man-child ministry. Yeah, Andrew.
I'm going to ask for prayer. You know, I do pray, but I want my prayer life to be a lot better. I even made like a little booklet to try and be a prayer warrior and stuff. This is from way back when we started talking about prayer and stuff. You know, I downloaded some stuff about one certain, they'll read one of Andrew Murray's books to you. He talks about prayer there and you can just listen to it. Someone else reading it for you even sometimes is a help. Since you don't have the book or something. Yeah, my son has one up on me. He has a book that I don't have. So, and I just want prayer for a better prayer. I do spend quite a bit of time with the Lord and in the Lord's word and in prayer. But, you know, sometimes I just wonder if I should be going into a different room and praying in tongues a lot more, and then, or going for a walk and maybe praying in tongues and coming back, having a better time with just a regular prayer in English. And so I would just like to make a request for being a better at prayer. You know, some people are good at prayer, but you know, even if you're good at prayer, you could be better, you know, all the time. So, Father God, I come before you, Father, and I just want to be in better communication with you, you know. I want to make my supplications to you of great thanksgiving for increase in glory, to go to you for this grace, this unending grace that we could get from you, to perfect us and establish us and to strengthen us, Lord. Sometimes we lack on this, and though you always come back in our minds, Lord, remind us we're not long away from you, Lord. Maybe a couple of hours here and there when we're busy with something else, Lord. But we would want this arbitration in our hearts, you know, to have Christ arbitrate in our hearts all the time. As it says, as Patrick read in the words there of Colossians. And Lord, I just pray for a strong prayer warrior life to increase in my supplications and prayers, thanksgivings toward my Father, who is very loving kind, very gracious and merciful to me and to my brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I pray that for everybody in here. And Lord, that you would help us to help our prayer time with you, Lord. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to place it in our hearts to pray for each other, pray for the things that you want us to pray for. And like Andrew said, we pray in the spirit in order to make that most perfect prayer. Because when we ask you to pray through us for the things that you want us to pray about, Lord, we know they're going to be answered, and I praise you. And I thank you, Father, that everybody here is going to learn to pray and to be in faith that when you pray, you know that it's answered. In Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you place it in our hearts. You told us in Romans 12 and 2 that the only way we can have our lives transformed is by renewing our mind with the Word of God. And I thank you, Father, for doing that for each and every one of us also, to get us in the Word and keep us in the Word. And not only that, I know in the past when I have prayed in the Spirit, before I get in the Word, that the revelation seemed to come a little bit more and quicker. And Father, I just praise you for doing that for all of us, Father. And Lord, put place it in me to do it more and more and more, because sometimes I get distracted by the things around us. But Lord, I want to do it more. And I praise you, Father, for putting that discipline in us to just pick a time of day that, bless God, this is what I'm going to do. And Lord, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that we're going to see a change, a transformation in everybody here very soon, very quickly, and very dramatic in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for helping us out in this walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. I receive that in Jesus' name. Lord, hallelujah. Hey, Geneva. Debbie, did Victory have trouble getting on? Apparently she did. I don't see her anymore.
Yeah, she's had trouble getting on. I think she was doing it. I just looked and I gave her the right numbers, but I think she was doing the what's the long one called? 1212131. That one, she's putting, she had wrong, typed it in wrong.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's what she's done. She's been trying to download on her phone and everything and did all that and following the right prompts and everything. But yeah, she just texted me back. So she's got the number right now, but kind of late now. But anyway, it's been a
frustration for her.
Yeah.
Don't make her feel at home. She comes in.
She's going to wait till next week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks for asking.
Thank you, Lord, for getting Victory on. I'm wanting to call her Victoria. I don't know why.
Yeah.
The Victory.
Well, I always call Victoria Victory. Okay.
All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to talk about while we've got about 5 minutes? Yeah. Yeah, Joe, we'll do that. Yeah, Geneva.
So thank you, Jesus. Today I was putting Micah to sleep and we were laying in the bed. And I had the lights off, and I looked down. I saw something scurry across the sheets, and I was like, I really hope that wasn't a spider. And I got up and I shook the sheets out, and I stood there for a second, and all of a sudden I looked down my pant leg, big old brown spider. Oh, it had a big like butt on it and long legs, brown. Anyway, I rebuked it and I killed that thing. And I did feel some fear try to come over me, you know, just because we're here in the basement. But It's a nice basement. So thank you, Jesus, for that. But anyways, I just had all these thoughts of like, oh my goodness, that was a spider. What if that happens again? So anyways, I just want to pray. And if you all believe with me, also thank you, Lord, for blessing me to see that. But I thank you, Jesus, that your word says that we can step on snakes and scorpions, Father, and that, Lord, no evil thing, no crawling thing, nothing, Father, can hurt or hurt us, Jesus. And that, Father, we are protected, Lord, by you and by your blood. And I thank you, Lord, for keeping your angels all around that room when I sleep, when Morgan sleeps, when Micah sleeps. And I just cast down anything evil, Lord, any evil spirits, Father, but also, Lord, just any spiders, I command them to be dead in the name of Jesus. Stay away from me. Be outside where you belong. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing us to be here. And I thank you, Jesus, you're going to bless us with our own home when it's time, and for patience. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're going to keep us safe when we sleep, and all peace and sweet sleep for me, Micah, and Morgan, and all of the saints. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We just prayed the blood of Jesus all over that house, and nothing, no garments whatsoever allowed in Jesus' name. Thank you, thank Father.
You. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I believe it. That's what we do here. We have an infestation of, what do you call them thing with 100 million legs on it? Yeah, Helgamites, I think. Or no, I'm not sounding right. Anyway, we had an infestation of those things. And, well, who is this coming on here? I bet that's Victory.
Yeah, she wanted to try to get on, make sure she was doing it right.
Hey, Victory. She's not on. Yeah, she's connecting to the audio.
Oh, yeah, she's wanting to. Okay.
Now, can you hear us, Victory? Hello. We see you, girl. Praise God, you got on.
There she is.
Yeah. You got to unmute yourself. Over, you'll see a microphone. It says mute or unmute. Hit that on your screen.
There we go. I should be unmuted, huh?
Yep.
Hello, you made it.
Awesome. Yeah, sorry about that. I was trying for about 45 minutes or an hour-ish, and I was off by one number. So now I know it'll work for next week.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, okay, praise the Lord you got on here. Glory to God.
Yeah.
It's good to have you on. Lord,
we just thank you. Why is this not working for me?
Yeah. All right. Lord, we thank you for blessing Victory while she's with us. Man, thank we you, thank Jesus. You, Father, that next week she's even going to be more blessed. For the little short time she's here, she's got 1 minute to say everything there is to know about, everything there is to know about.
That's awesome.
Hey, yeah, do you have a prayer request while we still got you on?
I'd just say for me, there's some things I'm asking God for, just like some understanding and reading the word on some things with, specifically like anointing with oil. And, that's one specific one. So just for some understanding when I read the word, that it would be clear to me.
Okay. Well, Father,
no confusion when I'm reading.
Yeah, Father, you heard a request, and we thank you, Father, for giving her breakthrough revelations in her in your word, Lord, and we thank you for opening up her spiritual eyes and ears of understanding, Lord, that when she gets into the word, that the word will come alive to her, and we praise you and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, and we command any kind of confusion or mind-bending spirits to go from her right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we thank you. No more brain fog. It's got to go in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father. Thank she you. Has clarity of thought when it comes to the word of God. And we praise you for it, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
She's going to grow up quick in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
All
thank
right.
Thank you for praying that for me.
Okay. Well, awesome. We're out of time. Well, you got on to get off.
There we go. Yeah, next Thursday. I'll be joining you guys Thursday then. Now that I got
8 o'clock 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Daylight Time. Okay.
Okay. All right, sounds we'll good. See thank you, Michael. I appreciate that, brother.
All right. God bless y'all.
All right. God bless. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. We'll see y'all. Right,
you too, ma'am. How do I switch back and forth? So you switched it to, did he switch it then to the video? So I see you now.
I don't know. I think you just did it, Victory. Didn't realize you did it.
Oh, tapping the screen.